The word of God given to us today is Acts 19, 8 to 10. Acts 19, 8 to 10. Allow me to read the words. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Amen. Last week, after our third service at 11, I met a woman in the elevator who was a member of our congregation. And she expressed her thanks in regards to 2 points. First, she thanked me because she had come to realize the true meaning of taxes through the sermon that day. She now understood that she was benefiting from the roads and cities built through the taxes and the efforts of people who had gone before her and had resolved to pay taxes faithfully so as to pay back the debt for our society and future generations. Second, she gave thanks that she had come to realize how she was able to enjoy national security thanks to the efforts and sacrifice of other people's sons who were in military service. And she told me she had thought to make sure her son, who was studying overseas, was exempt from military service. But after the sermon, she decided to have her son come back and pay his debt to other sons in our society. When I see members of the congregation like her, I am moved to the point of tears. This is because true faith does not remain static in thought or enlightenment, but is always followed by a change in life, in practice, and in action. If she had even once in her life not paid her taxes, and if she chose to get a broker and use illegal methods to make sure her son overseas got an exemption from the military, such actions would come from a secular, worldly mindset. Because so many people do it, she would have done it without guilt as well. But even if people in the world act this way, if one realizes that this is wrong and makes efforts to pay back one's debt to society by faithfully paying taxes and bringing back one's son from overseas so that he can pay back his debt to other sons in society, this is a mindset and lifestyle different from the world. And it is clear as day as to which choice is a Christian life. If we follow the thinking and lifestyle of people in the world around us, no matter how much our bodies enter the church, we cannot become true Christians. The Greek word ecclesia derives from ek, which means outside, and kaleo, which means to call. The church, therefore, is a meeting of people called outside the world. We who make up the body of Christ, the church, live in the world, but at the same time have been called outside the world by Jesus. Why did Jesus call us outside the world? Because a worldly lifestyle ruins our lives. Just because everyone in the world lives a certain way, if we follow them on the broad road, our bodies may be comfortable and we may be rich for a while, but we will face eternal failure in the graveyard. So our Savior Jesus Christ called us outside the world so that we might lead consecrated lives, different from the world destined to failure. This is what we call holiness. God, who called the people of Israel from the land of death, Egypt, commanded Moses as follows. In Leviticus 19:2, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, "Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy." The Lord called us outside the world so that we might live, unlike the world, holy lives in front of the holy Lord. A holy life is not a particularly special life. The Hebrew word for holy, kadash, means to make holy or to consecrate. To consecrate oneself from the broad road of the world, which seems bright and beautiful but ends in the failure of the graveyard, and to follow the narrow path of Jesus Christ, which is the road of eternal life and truth. This is holiness. We cannot dream of achieving this alone. But Jesus Christ, who consecrated us and called us outside the world, already exists within us and folds us in his word, so that within him we can live consecrated lives, that is, holy lives. We call each other believers because we recognize that we are holy creatures or consecrated creatures called by our holy Lord outside the world. The strength of believers in the church comes from a holy life, a consecrated life. If we live like the people of the world, the church cannot become a group of people called outside the world. If we do so, we cannot become real believers. Paul, who at the beginning of his third journey went back to Ephesus, entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But not everyone at the synagogue accepted the gospel. During the 3 months Paul preached in the synagogue, there were those who kept their minds as hard as stone and instead of obeying the gospel, openly criticized the gospel and prevented Paul from spreading the gospel by ostracizing him and putting obstacles in his way. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Paul finally had to leave the obstructors of the gospel. Paul left the synagogue and separated the disciples and took them with him. The disciples, as we already know, is a term for all the people who accepted Christ when at the end of his second journey he visited Ephesus, briefly on his way to Antioch of Syria. It also includes those who accepted Christ through Priscilla and Aquila, whom he had left for them, and those who newly accepted Christ on Paul's third journey to Ephesus. It refers to, in a word, all the Christians in Ephesus at the time. In Ephesus, Paul was not alone. As we just saw, there were many Christians who had accepted Christ in Ephesus. But Paul did not try to raise their strength and fight against the obstructors of the gospel in the synagogue. Paul left these obstructors and separated these Christians of Ephesus. The Greek verb aporizo, which is translated to separate in the Korean Bible, means to set off by boundary. Paul drew a clear line separating the Christians of Ephesus who accepted the gospel from the obstructors who ostracized the gospel. This was because by living together with them, they could not enjoy spiritual power nor use it in any way. In the halls of Tyrannus, Paul had discussions about the gospel daily with the Christians of Ephesus who had already received the gospel in the newly called believers of Christ. According to verse 10 of the scripture, Paul did this for a full 2 years. In the school of Tyrannus, Paul for 2 long years preached the gospel every day without exception. The Greek noun skole, which is translated in the Korean Bible as soon or school, is also related to the English word school, but in reality refers to a space with multiple goals where discussions and debates were held and lectures were given, and people also enjoyed their spare time. We know that in ancient Rome, these skole were quite common. But even so, it would have been very difficult for Paul to use the same skole for worship and Bible study daily for 2 years. The Hall of Tyrannus in the scripture refers to the skole of a person named Tyrannus. According to the Codex Bazei, Tyrannos, the owner of the skole, used it during mornings. So Paul and the Christians of Ephesus used the skole between the hours of 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., when Tyrannos had no need for it. Ephesus was a hot region, and this was the time when people stopped working and had lunch and enjoyed a siesta or a quick nap afterwards. Paul and the Christians of Ephesus, who had trouble finding a steady place to meet, gathered every day in the skole of Tyrannos while everyone else enjoyed their sleep to worship and study the Word of God. The human body is subject to its environment. The body rhythm of a person living in the cold of the North Pole and the body rhythm of a person living in the heat of the South cannot be the same. people in hot regions sleep during the day because that is the only way they can keep up their body rhythms in the natural environment they are in. If that is the case, then Paul and the Christians of Ephesus need their afternoon sleep to maintain normal body rhythms in the hot weather. But instead of sleeping for their bodies, they use the time to worship and learn the word of God at the empty skole of Tyrannus. This was not simply to separate themselves from the obstructors of the gospel. It was to clearly separate themselves from the worldly thought and lifestyles of the people of the world. These Christians who separated and consecrated themselves were the true church, those who raised and made firm the identity of the church, and a true spiritual community. Let us look at verse 10 in the scripture. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. As we saw during the past 2 weeks, ironically, thanks to the obstructors of the gospel who ostracized Paul, the gospel was able to spread past Ephesus to the western part of Turkey, which they called Asia. But this did not happen on its own, and it did not happen by chance. Between the obstructors of the gospel in the synagogue and the receivers of the gospel, regardless of race, all across Asia, existed the self-consecration of Paul and the Christians of Ephesus, who set themselves strictly apart from the world. Because they were able to set themselves apart from the world as a church, the Lord used them as a pathway, spreading the gospel through Ephesus and every corner of Asia. Just because Paul and the Christians of Ephesus consecrated themselves and raised themselves apart does not mean they left Ephesus for a lonely monastery somewhere deep in the mountains. The skole where they worshipped and studied the Bible while most of Ephesus enjoyed their afternoon sleep was inside Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the 4 largest cities in the Roman Empire and home to the Temple of Artemis, which was one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. It was a city of idols, of mammonism, and of reckless pleasure. But Paul and the Christians of Ephesus, right in the middle of this fallen city, set themselves apart and consecrated themselves in Jesus, and were able to become a true church spreading life for all mankind. Through this, we can tell consecrating and separating ourselves from the world as Christians is not a problem of space or location, but an issue of spirituality. Paul and the Christians of Ephesus were in the middle of a fallen city, yet they set themselves apart from the fallen lifestyles and the mindsets of the world. And they became beacons of light and truth for the spiritual salvation of the people of the world. As we all know, the book 1 Corinthians is a letter for the Christians of Corinth from Paul. Chapter 13, which is called the Chapter of Love, is the pinnacle of the entire document. I'll read to you in the NRSV Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Paul did not write this great letter with its spiritual ringing stronger than that of drums in a place apart from the world. He wrote it in the middle of the fallen city of Ephesus, in the middle of the world. By separating himself from the world and with the Christians of Ephesus creating a true church, he was able to record the marvelous word of God that remains in our hearts. Again, because he and other Christians were able to create a spiritual community consecrated from the world, they were able to pay back the debt of love they incurred to Jesus and give it back to the world in his name. In this sense, the importance of the church and the reason the church must become a true spiritual community cannot be overstated. Through our new believers class, we have learned that life in the church is like a triangle with three points. Each point is kerygma, or the word of God, diaconia, service, and koinonia, communion. If the church is a group of people called outside the world to a consecrated life, the beginning point and the goal of this separated life is the Word of God. The Word is the reason the church exists. But if we have only the Word, that is a school for theologians, not a church. The Word has to be continued by a life of service. As we do so, the word of the Bible is not just a printed text, but the life and power of God who lives in our daily lives made into flesh. If we have just service and not the word, that would make the church no different from the many charities of the world. A life of the word and service can be continued in a believer's communion. The Greek word koinonia is generally known as fellowship or communication, but it is best to see it as communion. If fellowship or communication refers to face-level friendship, communion includes a deep friendship of the heart. Through the Holy Communion of the believers, in which we raise each other's spirits and the courage to faith, The faith of Christians in the face of any difficulty will still be like a connected line, not a broken series of dots, continuing on into the future. If we have only communion and not the word or service, that is simply a community for socialization. Therefore, the lives of Christians in the church must always be a triangle, perfectly balanced between the word and service and communion. Only then can a Christian continue to live a full life separated from the world and can finally become a true disciple that will renew the world. Paul and the Christians of Ephesus consecrated themselves from the world, and during that time that the people of Ephesus slept, they used Tyrannus's skole for 2 years to worship and study the word of God. They created a true church, which means their lives were a perfect triangle, balanced between the word and service and communion. This balance and harmony allowed the gospel to spread from Ephesus through Asia. And this allowed the recording of the first book of Corinthians by Paul in the midst of the fallen city of Ephesus. So for a Christian to live a life consecrated apart from the world, he or she should not just attend church once a week. The strength of the world pulling at us is as strong as a tsunami. In order to become a true Christian, consecrated from the world and effecting change in the world, we need not only Sunday worship, but small group communion as well. The small group, which brings people of the same area or age or similar life circumstances together, is the best system to create a perfect triangle balanced between the word and service and communion. The meetings of Paul and the Christians of Ephesus in the skole of Tyrannus referred to the existence of small groups just like ours. We are in a situation in which the main building, or Hongbukwan, can only take about 500 people on Sundays. On Sundays, we worship in so many separate locations so that we cannot meet or get to know other believers in the congregation. So on the 10th anniversary of the church, on the second Sunday of July, we search for a place in which all the congregation, including the Sunday school children, can worship together in one place. But a place that can hold all of us is not only far away, but also the rental fees are expensive, as high as 50 million Korean won. So we had to give up on this plan. Thankfully, this year on Children's Day, May 5th, our entire church sports festival, called 100 Together, is going to be held at the Mokdong Main Stadium. My personal hope is that our entire congregation can get together that day in the Mokdong main stadium and know each other's faces, and through 100 together, create a perfect triangle balanced between the word and service and communion in our lives. We are Christians called outside this world by Jesus Christ. As Christians, our spiritual strength and power can become stronger as we consecrate ourselves and separate ourselves from the world. Like Paul and the Christians of Ephesus in the scripture, let us create a clear boundary between us and the world. Let us become one as the body of Christ and help each other. And in our lives, let us create and enlarge a perfect triangle balanced between the word and service and communion. The more we consecrate ourselves from the world, we are not distancing ourselves from the world, but allowing the world to become a more new and better place through us. This is the irony of consecration, of holiness. The Christian who knows this irony, who knows the irony of the cross in which Jesus, forsaken by the world, died, and in his death led to the eternal resurrection, this Christian can become a true disciple of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for not abandoning us, the people headed for that cemetery, but calling us outside this world. And thank you for not leaving us outside the world, but coming into our minds and hearts, and through your word, holding us close. Allow us to stay inside you through your word. Set a clear boundary between us and the world. And allow us to consecrate ourselves and our lives to you. Lord, who through us created the 100th anniversary Memorial Church, let us encourage each other in faith, so that in our lives every day, the perfect triangle, balance between the word and service and communion, may grow. Let us not forget the holy irony that the more we set ourselves apart from the world, the more the world becomes new because of us. The irony of the cross. And let us become this generation's scholar of tyrannous so that our families and workplaces and our church may breathe new life into this world. Amen.